So to get into the Sunday school lesson, I have the Sunday school hour. I'm in 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, and about verse 1, 2, and 3. Last week we were on 1, verse 1 and 2. This week we'll go on a little further. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says this: "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And we spoke last week about the grace of God. "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Shall we pray? Father, thank you for today. Thank you for a chance to teach your word. And I pray, God, that you would bless your word as it goes forth, and it would suit a blessing to those that hear it. If there's one that doesn't know you in a free pardon of sin, I pray, God, they can be saved as a result of these services this day. Now, bless and give me utterance to teach and speak your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," the Apostle Paul talking to this young man, Timothy. Timothy is a preacher, and he ministered in Ephesus and around about different places. And here, Paul had definitely taught him some things. He had taught him the doctrinal things that were to be taught in the New Testament church. So, "and the things that thou hast heard of me." Many things he had taught him, but other things he had heard of the Apostle Paul concerning his ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. And those are the things he said, I want the same commit thou to faithful men. And we want to deal with this passage just a little bit. And we still feel the burden of the verse today. It's still applicable to you and I as teachers and preachers and as people that listen to the word of God. So he says, "And the things that thou hast heard of me," what I've been saying, teaching, preaching, and writing, I want you to get those things down, and I want you to commit those things, teach those things, preach those things to your church, to your people. And that's what we're to be doing even today. Number one, Paul's belief. You might wonder, well, what did he believe? Was he like Moses? Did he believe like Moses? Well, the basics, he believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There's no doubt. But see, Moses didn't know of the New Testament church in his day, and the Apostle Paul knew of the New Testament church and was the apostle to the Gentiles. And so the fundamental doctrinal tenets of Christianity, this is what Paul believed, namely that Christ is God, born in the flesh, that his sacrificial death atoned for the sins of humankind, and that his resurrection from the dead guarantees eternal life to all people that would believe. We know that. That's a statement. Those are the beliefs of the Apostle Paul. So when he tells Timothy, look, the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, I want you to commit this. I want you to teach this, preach this in your churches. And even today, we're admonished to teach the doctrines of the Apostle Paul. Now, so Paul's beliefs, he believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and the triune godness, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and that Jesus, and he lived in that day, that Jesus was a man, a God-man that came to this earth identifying with mankind, that man might believe in the only begotten Son of God and be saved. And he believed in the resurrection. Well, Paul had a purpose. He wanted to make sure Timothy got a hold of that purpose. And he says in the scriptures, Paul believed that his vision, and remember when he got saved on the Damascus Road, unlike you or I today that simply believe and trust in the finished work of Christ, Paul being an apostle, having had to have seen the Lord, Jesus appeared to him. It's unlike how you're saved. Jesus didn't appear to you in any bodily form or heavenly form or theophany of any kind, but he does appear through the pages of this book in a spiritual sense. But here Paul believed that his vision proved that Jesus lived in heaven because Jesus had already died and resurrected when he appeared to the Apostle Paul. That's why Paul says he was as one born out of due time. Says that Jesus was the Messiah and God's Son, only begotten Son, and that he would soon return. See, Paul believed in the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ and told us in another place to comfort one another with these words. So he said to Timothy, now look, these things you heard about me and these things that I've been preaching and teaching and writing, get them down. I want you to teach them. I want you to preach them. So Paul has his beliefs. They're etched in the pages of the Word of God and the 13 epistles that he has written, 13 books in the Bible that he has written. And so he says, moreover, Paul thought that the purpose of this revelation was his own appointment to preach among the Gentiles. And that he was. And a verse of scripture on that, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible says this about that vision and about the belief or the purpose of the Apostle Paul. He says, to reveal his Son in me. Would to God every Christian felt that way. Would to God every preacher felt that way. Every evangelist, every missionary felt that way, that to reveal Christ Jesus or God's Son in every one of us, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So Paul has his beliefs and he wants to make sure young Timothy gets these beliefs down, and he teaches, he commits these things to those people he's going to teach and preach to and live his life in front of. So now we see his purpose. His very purpose was to reach the Gentile nations for the glory of God. See, the Jew had already rejected the Lord Jesus Christ by the book of Acts in Acts chapter 2. And the early church was a Jewish church, and Peter preached to the church. There were many saved, 3,000 in one place, 5,000 in another. And then the Apostle Paul, by Acts chapter 16, is on the scene, and he's saying, look, I've turned to the Gentile. I'm going to preach to the Gentile. Peter preached to the Jews, basically to the Jews. And then Paul went to the Gentiles. So his purpose was to reveal his Son in me, or he lived his life in such a manner, he taught in such a manner, he preached in such a manner, he wrote in such a manner to reveal the Son of God in him, in everything he did, that I might preach him among the heathen. And Gentiles were always considered heathens. So if you didn't know it today, if you're not saved, you're just a heathen, needs to be saved. And that's mankind. They're born like that. They're born like that. So here, then he said, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. He didn't get this out of the Bible colleges of the day. He didn't get this out of secular humanism or Darwin's book on evolution. Brother, he got it from God himself, from the Holy Ghost of God, that revealed, which was a mystery before, and revealed it to the Apostle Paul, that the Gentile people, the heathen people of the world, would be reached by the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, Timothy, get this down. So if a young preacher wants to know, well, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? How am I going to preach? Well, do what Paul told Timothy. He said, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit. You want something to preach? Preach the things of Paul that Paul did from the Word of God. I mean, take a stand there. It'll fortify your church. It'll strengthen the body of Christ. It'll help those faithful. And notice we'll be on that in just a moment. But let me say this. Paul had his beliefs. Wanted Timothy to know those things. He had his purpose. said, I want you to know these things. And then obviously he has a message that he's preaching. And he always echoed this message. Everywhere Paul went, he gave his testimony and how that he was saved by the grace of God. Now this is encouragement to save folks. And we preachers and ministers, we're about the spiritual things. I know the world and the government, they take care of the carnal and the physical stuff. But the church ministers the spiritual things for the need of mankind. And then we were talking about growing in grace last week and how folks grow in grace. And the grace comes by faith, and faith comes by the word of God. So we're committed to teach and preach the word of God. We're committed to stay in the book and do those things God told us to do, that the saved folks might be helped, the church might be edified, souls might be saved and encouraged, discipled, and grown up strong for the service of God in the few days we have here on this earth. But Paul had a message. And his message is found in 1 Corinthians 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, moreover, brethren, he says, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul's message, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 down through verse 3 and 4, 1, 2, 3, and 4, was the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man that preached the resurrection. So he said, Timothy, get this down. I don't want you to miss this. I don't want you to be telling stories when you get up there preaching to your people. I don't want you running rabbit trails and talking about who you were and how you were and what you're going to be and all the other carnal things. I don't want you teaching and preaching out of Reader's Digest or Life Magazine or how to kill the next 10-point buck. I don't want you talking about any of that. I want the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men. He said, that's what I want you to teach. That's what I want you to preach. We don't need to hear about mankind. We don't need to hear about all the important people and celebrities of the day and what Hollywood's got going on. We need to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. You spent some time with the Lord Jesus Christ, and just like over there at the temple when John and Peter were there, and they said they were ignorant and unlearned men. But brother, they could tell they had spent some time alone with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just a couple of old fishermen. They didn't know much. But brother, they knew this. Jesus had saved them. And they were telling others how to get saved. And Paul's telling Timothy, look, get this down. I want you to get this right. Because this is going to be the cornerstone. This is how you build a church. This is how you build a work for the glory of God in these last days. Now, so he had a message. Not only did he have a message, but he had his doctrine. Paul's doctrine's not like some of the doctrine in the Old Testament. There's a lot of complementary doctrines. They follow all the way through the Word of God because God is unchangeable, immutable. His Word is unbreakable. But Paul has some new things since the cross. Things have changed. The book of Hebrews, he may have written to the Hebrew people. He says there, that there's a better covenant, there's a better testament, there's one better than the man Moses, the man Christ Jesus. So he said, get this down. This is what I want you to teach. This is what I want you to preach. Lift Christ up that he might draw all men to himself. So Paul had his doctrine in 2 Timothy 3:10, right there close in the scriptures. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. Listen. Paul didn't beat around the bush on what he believed. He put it down. He says, thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Not only did he know his doctrines, said, my manner of life. Boy, that speaks volumes to the preacher. In other words, whatever you're preaching, you better be living. You can't preach one thing and live another thing. Say, what is that? Well, the hypocrites did that, and Jesus was always on their case. He said, you generation of vipers, that's what he called them. I mean, I didn't make that up. And that's what he called the Pharisees and the hypocrites of his day, the religious leaders. I guess it's pretty easy to be a hypocrite. But here Paul said, thou hast known my doctrine, manner of life. In other words, how I live every day, my comings and my goings and my what I say in my conversation and how I handle myself when I'm in the market and how I handle myself when I take a meal, how I handle myself when I read my Bible or write or whatever I do, my manner of life. And so often, the so-called man of God today, his manner of life leaves a little something to be desired. You know, he's out doing the carnal things of the world, and he's not doing the things that he was commanded to do from the Word of God. So he's making sure Timothy gets on the right page. Well, why would your manner of life have anything to do with your church work if you're a preacher, a teacher, or an evangelist? Well, it has a lot to do, because somebody is always watching you. And how you handle yourself, your manner of life, is going to speak volumes to those people that are watching you. Look, if you have the propensity to sin and to do the carnal things you always did as a man of God or a preacher or a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, I got news for you. The people that watch you, they're going to say, we don't want what he's got. He's a hypocrite. So there's a lot of truth in what Paul's saying here. He said, so you know my manner of life, my purpose. We talked about his purpose. He had a purpose to preach and lift up Christ. And then his faith. Paul was a man of faith. He had strong faith. Now he saw plenty of trouble, plenty of problems. He talks about being shipwrecked. He talks about going without food. He talks about being beaten by his own countrymen. He talks about being put in jail. He talks about being in chains. Look, this pandemic that we're living through here, why, this ain't nothing to what the Apostle Paul lived through. And he told Timothy, get this stuff down, man. Understand these things. He says, my purpose, my faith. Have a little faith, man. Don't let this thing shake your faith. I mean, we believe in God. You say, well, what if I catch this stuff and die? Man, I'm like John R. Rice. Don't threaten me with heaven. Amen. And he says here, long suffering. I mean, have some long suffering speaks of patience. Long suffering is not exactly patience. Long suffering means forbearing, putting up with, and waiting. So he says, you know my long suffering. In other words, when you're dealing with your folks as a preacher, be long suffering. Watch it. Charity. Oh, charity is that love in action. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that whole chapter is dedicated to the word charity. And brother, he said, if I spoke in tongues or done this or done that and done it without charity, it would profit nothing. And I believe that today. A lot of folks ministering in the energy of the flesh and no charity at all. So what are you about? I'm about lifting up Christ with charity and long-suffering and patience. Say, why? Where'd you learn that? From the Word of God. That's what he told Timothy he was to be about. And he said patience. Last there's patience. Patience is something a lot of folks don't have. They can't wait on anything. They just get all befuddled, and I don't know, why don't we get this, and why don't we do that, and how come this has to happen? Why don't they let us? Look, learn patience. I know tribulation bringeth patience, so this is good for some of us. It will teach us some patience, a little tribulation that we go through. So Paul here has his doctrine, and then in 2 Timothy 3:16, he says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, this is some of his doctrine. And is profitable for doctrine. There it is. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You say, what's he saying? He's saying, now, young Timothy, get a hold of all this stuff. I want you to get the stuff you've heard about me, the teaching, the preaching, the doctrine that I've stood by, believed in, and wrote down. And I want you to commit that to those people that listen to you. And then he says, commit that to the faithful hearer. I'll talk about that in a moment if I get time. But here he says, that scripture is for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look, we don't have to go to the schools of higher learning as spiritual men of God to learn the things of God. We've got the textbook, the Word of God. We've got the Holy Spirit, which is the guide, the comforter, and the true teacher of the things of God. We have to just apply ourselves to the Word of God. You say, well, everybody isn't going to do that. That's why you have pastors. That's why you have assistant pastors. That's why you have evangelists. That's why you have missionaries. You say, why? For the perfecting of the saint, for the teaching of the Word of God and the preaching of the Word of God, that they might edify and build up the body of Christ. That's our job, spiritual things. So some of his doctrine, he told Timothy this. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. Watch it. And doctrine. He said, what is that? That's the stuff that should be going on. The doctrine. And then he says, for the time will come. And I believe we're probably in some of that time. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There's a whole lot of folks out there today that claim to know Jesus Christ and are free part in sin. And I know everybody isn't a spiritual giant. I got that. I know that. That's why we have a job to do and we preach and we teach. But I've found some men and some women, some Christians that used to live for God, walk for God, teach a Sunday school class, preach the Word of God, are no longer doing those things. You say, what happened? Paul said, here it is. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Brother, they want to hear everything. They'll listen to this guy and they'll listen to that guy and they'll tune this guy in on sermons audio and this guy in on TV and this guy in on YouTube, and oh, it just tickles their ears. And brother, they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth of the true responsibilities of a child of God. And a child of God ought to be willing, after learning the scriptures, to help, to lend a helping hand, to help others. Where's that charity? But no, they've already kind of gone over the other side, you might say, and they're going to do their own thing. And they're going to call themselves spiritual, faithful, and when in all essence, they're not none of those things. Now watch. He said in that latter part of that verse in my text, we were reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, we was talking about that, the same commit thou to faithful men. Now, hold on there. And then I just give you that verse. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap themselves teachers having itching ears. You know who that is right there? That's the people that aren't faithful. So you're wasting your time when you try to teach them something because they're just not teachable. They know it all. They got their way, their style. Say, what is that? That's a carnal Christian. They're not going to show up on time. They're not going to take a hold. They don't care. They're like a billy goat. If you say something, well, we're going to do this for the Lord, and they're going to say, but. And you say, what is that? That's opposition to the truth of the teachings of Paul and the manner of life and the long-suffering and the charity and the patience that he manifested. But those folks will always call themselves true godly Christians. You just don't. I've been through so much. Come on now. Watch now. The same commit thou to faithful men. If there are faithful men, and there are, there's faithful people. Thank God for the faithful folks that we have at Hope Baptist Church who love the Word of God, love the teaching of the Word of God, and they'll reach out and they say, thank you for keeping us going. Thank you for preaching and teaching to us. We get something. Our soul is fed when the preacher preaches. Man, just something happens when the service on Wednesday night happens. I tune in. I listen to it. And brother, it does something. It fortifies my soul. That's a good Christian. That's a faithful person. So I say to the preachers and the teachers, keep on preaching and keep on teaching, because the faithful need it, and they'll grow and they'll strengthen and they'll do more for God. But now that other crowd that says they're spiritual, that says they're faithful, they're not going to do nothing. You just mark it down. But that's pastoring, that's ministering, that's teaching. That's just how it is. So to commit to teach and preach the right things to faithful men would be to those that are true to the church, Christian life, ministry of Christ, people of God, Word of God, prayer, and good works. These are the folks that you help. You know what? They'll be insignificant. They're not always tooting their own horn. You may not know what a great Christian they are, maybe till the judgment seat of Christ and you see them get their reward. It'll be some widow lady sitting back in the back that never makes a big splash about anything. But brother, she's the best prayer warrior that church has ever had. She's the best soul winner that church has ever had. I mean, she'll take a hold and get a hold of the horn, holler and pray the grace of God down and the mercy of God down. And man, the man of God will think, well, he done it on his own power, when all the whole time it was some old man or some old woman in the back praying the power of God down on the service. Amen. Now, responsibility is expected from every child of God. I can't get around that when I study the Bible. So he told Timothy, commit these things to faithful men. Along with that commitment and people hearing that comes that great responsibility. Faithful men would include any teacher, preacher, deacon, evangelist, pastor, missionary, piano player, guitar player, whatever you do for God, singer. Those are the faithful folks in the church. But we are to be able to see if one is faithful. Did you get that when he taught that? Commit thou to faithful men. In other words, you're going to have the discerning power to understand who you should waste your time on and who you shouldn't. Because if there's faithful men, obviously there's unfaithful men. He said, don't waste your time with them. He said, you're going to be spinning your wheels. Say, how do you know that? Because of the very next thing he says in verse 3, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That hardness has to do with the hard hearts of the people you minister to. Every time that word's found in the New Testament, it's found early in the book of Matthew. And he says, he said of them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, there's the word hardness used, it has to do with the hearts of people. A brother, he said, they may be there, they may show up, but don't waste too much time on them, because they're not faithful just because they say they're religious and they're great and they're this and they're that. Don't waste your time on them. But commit what you have to faithful men. You say, why? Because that's the ministry. That's the people that are growing. So here, many a pastor has made the mistake of putting some man or a woman in a position and found out that he just or she just wasn't faithful, spiritual, hospitable, charitable, lovable, approachable, or any other quality necessary for ministry, and then couldn't get rid of them for fear of splitting the church if they said anything. Say, what is that? Well, that's not running it like Paul told Timothy to. Say, what? This is the teaching, the straight teaching of the Word of God. So, hardness, he said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soul. Yeah, there's hardness in the ministry. Hard-hearted people. And you'll find, though, a faithful person doesn't have that hard heart. He has a pliable heart. He has a teachable heart. He has a learning heart and a learning spirit. And brother, those qualities are what fascinate the pastor and what encourage the pastor and the assistant pastor and those that teach, and in my case, the evangelist that gets to teach at the church. We're encouraged when somebody learns and takes a hold and gravitates to the things of God. Those are the blessings. Well, that's a Sunday school hour for this morning, and I don't know how long it went. It's hard to keep track of time, but let's close with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the chance to preach and teach your word. It's in Jesus' name. Now we pray. Amen. So high, you can't get over it. So high, you can't get around it. I said it's high. So high, you can't get over it. So high, so high, you can't get around it. So low, you can't get under. Might as well come in at the door. I said it's high. So high, you can't get over it.